And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
There were times where he was just kind of running into players. Some do play all right defensively throughout the game. They just couldn't do anything offensively. You bring all those guys back, and you get Courtney Remy. You're looking at a team that probably has top 15, top 20 talent.
I'm good. I just a little sprained, so we're fine.
There's a shelf life and a time for everybody.
It wasn't about money. It wasn't about anything.
Just didn't feel like we were at a point to where we wanted to add some of the guys at the price that they were at.
Right in for a chance with a stick. Rebound. Scores! Jeff Carter wins it in overtime.
Saucers a pass for Atkinson. Scores! Jackets win in overtime.
It just didn't go our way, unfortunately, but we did enough to win.
First of all, just having another body, it's great for our team. It's great to have him back.
Gives it to Clarkson for a three. Oh, and rips it. And LeBron with that assist as his third triple-double in the last four games.
So it will be a series sweep by the Detroit Pistons of the Sacramento Kings.
And the Warriors will get ready to fly home tonight. Buzzer sounds, game's over.
Just like constant annoying pain.
It's like a bruise in his kind of pubic area, kind of pubic area.
The mental mistakes we can't have.
I don't give coach speak very often. I give heart speak.
And welcome in. Hour number two of the Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Hope the Tuesday is going well and the commute home is uneventful.
That's right.
Yes. 442-8255 is the phone number. This hour, Gina Fogue will join us. Missouri Tigers softball. Rather interesting week for the ladies as they picked up one victory in five opportunities. So, yeah. They'll get five more this week, beginning with two tomorrow. Down in Cape Girardeau as they take on Acemo. Cameron Teague opening up our montage. Comments about Michael Porter Jr., Missouri's game against Florida State. And then, you go out on a limb on this one. There's always somebody with chainsaw, but you go out on a limb assuming that one or both Porters come back. He's thinking top 15 talent for this basketball team next year. Sophie Cunningham, this was post-Kentucky game. It was a win, and it was a game where Sophie exited the game about 5 minutes or so to go in the first half, and then came back in the second half, thumb taped, and didn't take any shots in the third quarter, took a couple shots in the fourth quarter. Tigers win on that game. Asked her after the game about the thumb injury. Just a sprain. Yeah, no big deal. We're good. Ends up being a torn ligament. Played the last eight games of the basketball season, including the 35-point performance against Florida Gulf Coast with a torn thumb ligament.
Yep.
So she stepped up.
She did.
Others stepped aside.
Yeah.
In that last game for the Tiger ladies. Media availability tomorrow for Coach Robin Pinchton and also Sophie Cunningham. And I'm sure get an earful about what happened. So we'll try to bring those comments to you tomorrow and or Thursday. Probably more appropriate on Thursday because we'll have Ann Rogers in Thursday afternoon to talk about this Missouri Tiger season. A.J. McCarron, now with the Buffalo Bills. It's not about the money.
Right.
Not about the money. Not at all. Chris Ballard, it is all about the money. He says free agents are expensive, and they weren't willing to pay the price. Good luck, Andrew Luck. You'll need every bit of it, including your last name. Fox Sports West, Fox Sports Ohio, and Nesson with some hockey calls in that little montage there as well. LeBron James, glad to have Kevin Love back. He's another body.
Such beautiful poetry there.
Love me another body. Coming off the bench.
Body's back.
Yep. Glad Cavaliers Radio Network. Braun getting a triple-double on the assist to Jordan Clarkson, who buried the three. Kings Radio Network, Warriors Radio Network. Both teams lose. Draymond Green, Warriors Radio Network, talking about his groin injury. He did so much more artfully than his coach, Steve Kerr, who found himself in a very uncomfortable position and couldn't figure out how to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bruising going on there to the ego for Steve Kerr. Warriors Radio Network, Dave Yeager, NBC Sports California. Can't have those mental mistakes. And then Tom Izzo, who doesn't give you coach speak. He gives you heart speak. unless he doesn't want to talk to you at all, in which case he says, I'm not answering any questions about the allegations that are surrounding Michigan State sports. I'm here to talk about basketball. All right, cool, coach.
Cool.
You've had several of your players suspended for alleged sexual assault. I'm not talking about that. I'm here to talk about the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got a lot more spare time now.
Yes.
Because they are out of the tournament. So, as are a lot of teams.
Still probably won't talk about that, though.
No, he probably won't. He doesn't have to. He's Tom Izzo. Heart speak, not coach speak.
I hear heart speak has a good rhythm.
It does. It does. It just kind of, you know, bumps along.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Yes. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Okay. 442-8255, the phone number. Again, Gina Fogle will join us here in about 10 minutes or so. Talk Missouri Tiger softball and the search for consistency. It was something that she talked about after, especially the games against Mississippi State here. They'll be on the road. SEMO tomorrow, doubleheader, and then on the road down to Fayetteville over the weekend for three games with the Arkansas Lady Razorbacks. We talked about in the first hour with Jarrett Sutton a lot of basketball for Missouri and a little bit about the NCAA tournament as far as coaching hires and stuff go. I think the conference got better. Tom Crean, the head coach at Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know as if the conference got better at Ole Miss when they hired Kermit Davis. Because, well.
Already starting off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, pretty much. There are certain hills you don't want to die on.
Right.
And I think he's already picked his.
And it's one that's going to go over so well with recruits.
He said, and while it's hard to disagree, there are some comments you want to keep to yourself, like that one talk show host who basically told Sister Jean from Loyola Chicago to go F herself.
Yeah, that didn't go over
well. That didn't go really well.
No.
This one won't go either.
Right.
Where he said, we were going to have a team that's going to respect the flag and the national anthem. While I agree with the sentiment, that's a tough hill to die on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo, good luck with that.
Yep. Yep.
Bonsoir, mon ami.
Uh-huh. I mean, you can make your fan base as happy as you want to think you're making them with these comments.
Yeah.
But guess what your fan base isn't doing? Suiting up.
Playing basketball for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the swingers up in the stands, they don't have eligibility. This isn't like, you know, picking the Royal starting pitcher out of section 419, row Q, seat 8.
Oof.
So, yeah. And those comments from Kermit Davis coming out earlier or late yesterday. And, again, awesome sentiments. You'll get a lot of buy-in.
Yeah.
But the problem becomes when you're out there on the recruiting trail and trying to sell that message.
Best of luck.
Yep. Awkwardly handled. We talked about it in the first hour with Jarrett Sutton. We'll expand on it a little bit here right now. The University of Memphis made a coaching change last week. And it wasn't one that was a secret. Tubby Smith, two winning seasons, did not get to the tournament, and there are several AAU players in the city of Memphis that the University of Memphis thought, I think they should stay here. They should stay in town.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be losing this talent. We should cultivate these relationships. We should fire Tubby Smith and hire Penny Hardaway, who happens to be the coach of these young men at this current point in time. That was a $10 million decision to exit out of Tubby Smith.
Yes.
Don't know the exact terms of the contract. They've not been released yet for Penny Hardaway. But Tubby Smith put Memphis back. I mean, he replaced Josh Pastner, who had kind of worn out his welcome at Memphis. High recruiting, underachieving. And the way the administration at Memphis handled things, this was so incredibly public. It was like going out on the dinner date with your wife, and the mistress is in the booth right next to you. And you're sliding back and forth across. Got the appetizers with the wife. Got, you know, maybe the zupa with the mistress. You come back for the main course with the wife. Desserts with the mistress. And after dinner drinks with the wife. All in full public view. That was how Memphis handled this. It could have been done worse. I'm not sure how. But when we give, like, the university grief of you spent how much for a search committee?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that happens. There is a reason that stuff is done. Look at the fun we had with Tennessee. When they stumbled about the dark room, barefoot, not knowing the two-year-old scattered Legos about the room, and tried to find their football coach. Poorly handled. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Gesundheit.
Bless you. Drive safely.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we watched this on a public forum play out for, what, 3 weeks? And then they finally pulled the trigger right before the NCAA tournament. And Hardaway was officially announced today as the head coach at Memphis. So Tubby gets run out of Kentucky despite a national championship. Goes to, where did he go? He went to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Tech job came open. He took that. Put Texas Tech back on the map. The Memphis job came open. They investigated everybody. They hired Tubby Smith out of Texas Tech.
Right.
And he lasted 2 years before they decided, we're going to go for the trophy. And we can all now sit back and we can watch this play out, because while he may have been a really good basketball player and may have had a cute little doll, Lil Penny,
mm-hmm.
back in the day.
Yeah.
Musty, huh?
No.
Okay.
No, very relevant.
Okay. This is a case where Memphis caught the trash truck, and now they have no idea what to do with it.
Yep.
And those kids that are currently playing for Penny Hardaway on the AAU level, I don't know if they all follow, because he's not going to have much of a team. Because the latest report out of there was 8 kids on that Memphis team are going to be asking for the release from their scholarship. 8. Good luck, Penny Hardaway. I hope you have your builder's permit. You'll need it. And a really good escape clause, because you'll probably need it in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Listen, Penny Hardaway's got a name.
Mm-hmm.
He's got recognition.
Right.
If he shows any chops at all, this is purely going to be a stepping stone job.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's his alma mater doesn't mean he's staying there.
No.
This isn't Georgetown. This isn't Arkansas.
No, and, you know, and toward that, Georgetown this year hired Patrick Ewing. And let's see. Are they in the tournament? Let's check this tournament. Nope. They're not. Are they in it? No, they're not in the NIT either. You know, we've got Chris Mullen at Seton Hall. Or St. John's, rather. And, you know, the, I mean, good God, did we not watch what happened here? Hire the alum? Hire the guy everybody wanted?
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Let's check in with Memphis here in a couple of years, see how that worked out.
Seems good.
Yeah, St. John's, 4-14 conference record in the Big East. The Georgetown Hoyas finished a game ahead of them at 5-13.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, those two teams, a combined 31-32 with alumni as coaches. It's a dangerous precedent that Memphis has set. And I doubt they're going to be happy with the result.
Agreed.
Especially when they got to play 5-on-3 because they aren't going to have anybody on the bench. Penny Hardaway's going to look around. He's going to try to check somebody in. It's going to be the, you know, it's going to be one of the team managers.
Or a puppet.
Or a puppet. Lil Penny. His eligibility is probably used up.
I don't know. Just because you wear a uniform, I don't think Lil Penny ever actually played.
That's true. Definitely a small forward. Missouri softball coach Gina Fogue joins us next.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks, who's going to be back with us here momentarily. I'm George Young, happy to be joined by Missouri Tigers softball coach Gina Fogue. And coach, you grab your first win over a ranked team and knocking off Mississippi State over the weekend on a Saturday afternoon. But from a coaching standpoint, with everything that had been accomplished up to this point this year, how disappointing was that lead up to that, especially that doubleheader loss to Illinois midweek last week?
Yeah, it was definitely disappointing for us coaches and for the girls. You know, it's just there's a lot to be learned from something like that. You know, a midweek game that they aren't quite as fired up for, and then that happens to you if you don't show up. Any day, any given day, that's why you play this game, because you know, we can beat you any day. So, you know, we took a lot from that and talked with the girls quite a long time and tried to change, you know, what we thought wasn't going well on that Wednesday into the weekend. And Saturday or Friday night, they came out with some fire under them. You know, they're ready to play. Warren Rice threw a nice game. We made a couple defensive miscues there that kind of cost us a little bit, and our bats weren't really alive. You know, we had some hits, but you know, it wasn't what we've been seeing from our lineup.
Yeah, we'll start with Lauren Rice. How important was that for you to see that bounce back game from her? Because she got rattled around pretty good in that doubleheader.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was great. I mean, that's the Lauren that we want to see. That Friday night game, she was hitting her spots, hitting the corners, leaving it low, didn't miss a lot over the plate, and you know, it was a little opposite of that on Wednesday, so it was good for her to come back, you know, and bring what she can do. So it's just, you know, it's just fighting for consistency from our pitching staff is trying to, you know, we got it. That's what we saw. We need that. So how do we can be consistent with that? And that's what we're fighting for.
Well, and with that, part of that consistency is having, you know, in baseball, you call it that wipeout pitch. And what do you do with softball? Because we know that, you know, you can get those first two outs pretty quickly. And as you have found out already this year, getting out number three can be somewhat of a challenge at times. Is there one of the ladies that really has that pitch that you can go, that's your go-to one, use that, get out of a jam?
Yeah, I mean, her best pitch is her drop, but it's just trying to develop. If she could have a lights-out changeup, you know, it would be a game-changer for her. And so that's one thing we're working on, to develop that. And she can go rise, too. But it's her drop's her best. But if we had a changeup that was really working well, then she would be really tough to hit. So, that's something we're developing.
Is there somebody on that staff that you look at and go, man, I need – that's the pitch that really works. That's the one that can get us out of a jam at any point in time.
Yeah, I mean, I think they all bring a little bit of that. Okay. Each of them, you know. I think, you know, if you look back at Wednesday, Danielle Baumgartner and Lonnie Skates they threw well on Wednesday, you know, and so Nalani's rise and changeup was working well, and so it's on days where you're hoping for they can bring that every day, and then Danielle spots it well, so you know that's what you look for in that kid when you put her in, and then Maddie, the same thing. She's similar to Lauren, and you hope she keeps it knees and it can spin it. When she spin it up, she's spinning her rise well, and it's not flat. So it's something you look at. There's each of them that has their own thing we're looking for and making sure that they have it, because if they don't, then it's, you know, and that's something we did a couple weeks ago in a inner squad with our team, was we made them throw backwards. We made them throw without their best pitch to teach them that they can still get out of things with when they don't have their good stuff. So it's something we're continuing to develop with our staff, our pitching staff.
Missouri softball coach Gina Fogg with us here on the closers. And with that pitching staff, is the philosophy right now, is it a pitch to contact, or is it one where if you've got the hitter down in the count, whether it's 1-2 or 0-2, that you can get that third out, or that you can get that out rather with that third pitch?
It's both. I mean, we have a pretty detailed scouting report on each hitter,
right,
when we're facing them. So it's, you know, we're trying to spot our pitches, and that's the biggest thing. Is if we're hitting our spots, then we should be getting, you know, weaker hits, or we're going to hit it into where our defense is set up. And so it's more of, you know, making sure we're trying to hit our spots and locating, and then, you know, nibbling away when you got not missing bad on 0-2 pitches. You know, those 0-2 pitches need to be something that's going to be a hitter chasing, or, you know, you're not missing middle of the plate there. So it's still a great pitcher's pitch and not a hitter's pitch in those situations. But sometimes I feel like, you know, that's where we're missing bad, is when we're 0-2 or 1-2, we're missing over the plate a little bit too much. And so it's just trying to have the girls understand, you know, at what point, where are we throwing those pitches? Where do we need to throw them? You know, what do we really want? What are we looking for there? We're trying to teach them.
With the younger staff, how much of that is getting them to understand that this isn't high school anymore? You could leave it out over the plate, but you are powerful enough to be able to get it by without getting hit. Now you're basically setting it up on a tee. How hard is that message to get across to the younger members of that staff?
I think they learned that pretty quick, you know, with our schedule we've had this year. We played some really tough opponents early, and then continuing into the SEC. So that was something we learned early. They learned early. Mm-hmm. And so it's continuing to build on that and, you know, just and fine tuning their spots. So I think, you know, it's being locked in on every single pitch that, yeah, I may be 0-2 and I'm way ahead, but I got to bring it even more now because I'm ahead. And I can't miss because I need to make sure I'm spotting my spots even better now that I'm ahead. Because I don't want to have let an 0-2 base hit to the gap. I want to make sure that I'm spotting it where I need to at that point. So I think, you know, sometimes it's flipping the switches. You got to be smarter when you're 0-2 than when you're behind, because you got to be more fine with your pitches and not miss over the plate.
I know you were there for that, but how spoiled was Missouri softball by Chelsea Thomas then? As we look at the years gone by with the pitching staffs.
Yeah, and you know, that was something she developed into her sophomore, junior, senior year. You know, for her freshman year, when you look back at Chelsea, she was drop and change. She didn't have a rise ball, and locating was something that she worked on her freshman year, and then over that summer, she went and worked really hard and developed a rise ball. And I remember going back into that fall, and the first time we were facing her, you know, the pitchers, we didn't see a lot of what they did as a player. You know, you're focusing on defense on mm-hmm. the field, so you're not paying attention to the bullpens and what they're doing over there. And I remember our first inner squad, I'm thinking, your drop ball here, I got to see it up. And all of a sudden, she throws me a rise ball, and I look at it, and I was like, and it wasn't just a rise ball. It was a really good rise ball. So it was something that she developed in 1 year and made a big difference to her. But it was something she went through as well, was I got to locate. I got to know how to throw, and I had to learn how to pitch and not just throw. And that's, you know, that's something that we're constantly kind of teaching the girls, is you can't just every pitch has a purpose. You're setting up the next pitch, and it's not just I'm going out there throwing, blowing it by everyone like you could do in high school and in the summer.
That look was the "where'd you find that girl" look, right?
Yeah.
Been there when the guy we used to rattle around in batting practice all of a sudden found himself a curveball. That was that that same look, very familiar with that. Head coach Gina Fogue, Missouri softball with us. You mentioned on Saturday post-game that hitting is contagious. Going back to the earlier game on Friday when you had 11 left on, yeah, you were getting hits, but they weren't becoming timely hits. How does, from a confidence standpoint and from a mental outlook standpoint, how do you get from what happened on Friday where you can't get that timely hit to Saturday and then becoming more consistent with what you saw Saturday?
I think you look back, you know, at our plans that our hitters were having, and you go from there. And when I went back and watched that game, watched a few times, and her pitcher was spotting it well. You know, mm-hmm. She was hitting outside corner, hitting inside corner. She wasn't leaving much over the middle of the plate. And when you look at that, and then you look at the plans that our girls have, you say, was your plan successful? What were you really looking for when you had base runners on? Were you trying to put it in play? Were you trying to get a sack fly? What were you doing? And you look back at both of those things. And when someone's spotting it well like that, it felt like we got to the point where we'd watch strike one go by, and it was a borderline strike. You know, she was hitting corners, and you'd watch strike two because it wasn't something you didn't think you could drive. Now all of a sudden we're 0-2 and we're being defensive and we have base runners on where we're trying to knock them in. So it's trying to find the situations where, you know, when we're facing good pitchers that are spotting it well, almost being, you know, a little more aggressive, being okay with putting the ball in play and getting singles rather than trying to really drive something, which I feel like sometimes, you know, that they're looking for that big hit, which all we really do need is a single. So it's, mm-hmm. And when you're facing good pitchers, you know, it's a grind. It's not easy. It's a battle, and you're trying to just take any mistake they have, even if it's a half a ball over the plate, you know, if she's hitting her corners well. So I think that's, you know, something we learn from.
Yeah, sometimes you can
as a team.
Yeah, you take that cue shot sometimes right on down the line, and it wasn't much, but it was properly placed. Head coach Gina Fogue with us here. You guys hit the road this weekend, Cape Girardeau, for a doubleheader with SEMO, and then it's off to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to take on the Lady Razorbacks for that. What's the message this week for the ladies, especially when you're trying to start the week out on a good note with that doubleheader against SEMO?
Yeah, we're not changing our message too much. You know, I think the focus, being engaged on every single pitch of every single game, you know, if we really truly do that, then I think, you know, the message we've been telling them is the same, and fighting for consistency. So it's trying to be consistent and focusing on every pitch and in the moment, being in the moment.
All righty. Head coach Gina Fogue, a SEMO doubleheader Wednesday down at Cape Girardeau, and that'll be on the SEC Digital Network, and then it is SEC Network Plus, Arkansas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Coach, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend and safe travels.
All right. Thank you.
You are very welcome. That is head coach Gina Fogue. We'll be right back. We've got more of the closures, and we will address that right after this.
It's the closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back. It's the closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. And just going back through the little timeline here, there's a billboard up now. You know, Missouri's got their spring practice. Everybody's got spring ball going on right now. And Missouri, in addition to constructing a fall football team, they're deconstructing the south end zone. So got a lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow here on the show. But here's the billboard. It says, Kansas football, quote, the most incompetent thing I've seen in major sports, close quote. Dan Lebatard, ESPN. Paid for by SaveKansasFootball.com.
Okay.
And we're off. Yep. Good times.
Goodness sakes.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
I don't know.
Got an incoming call?
No.
You want to share?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Goodness.
Ooh, there's a lot of no's there. This was tweeted out by Seren Petro from WHB.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. The Beaker boys are getting ready for their annual spring game. I wonder if they will cut down the goalposts if KU wins?
But KU will also lose.
Oh.
I mean, they're used to that.
Right.
Maybe one team could just dress up as Texas.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That'd be the losing team.
Right.
Then they could just cut the goalpost down and dump it in the pond,
mm-hmm.
which is what they do.
And go watch a basketball game.
Right. Yes. Bring their favorite shoes. 442-8255 is the phone number. Right. We had a lot of topics that we threw out during the break on the table. Again, Missouri softball on the road this weekend, so you'll have to find it on ASCC Digital Network and then SEC Network Plus. Coming up this weekend against SEMO, Wednesday doubleheader, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Arkansas down in Fayetteville. So what'd we do? What'd we come up? 442-8255. Momentary distraction.
Okay.
Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
It's 1-800-SLOW on I-70 West due to, I guess, an accident just north of the mall on 70.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So if you're traveling through Columbia westbound, and coming up on the mall, the Stadium Boulevard exit, be careful. Use caution. So
I mean,
thanks for the call.
Always
appreciate
use
that.
Caution.
Well, yes.
But yes, we
more
like,
so than normal.
We like the old heads up.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, when you see the flashy lights and the sirens and everything, get out of the way.
Right.
Move.
And I hate to break it to you, but when the lights are on, tow trucks are emergency vehicles.
Yes.
You have to get out of the way for them also.
Yeah. But I can't think of how many times I've seen in the last couple of weeks where apparently your destination is far more important than the fire truck, the ambulance, or the police car. So you try to beat them through the intersection. That's a bad life plan. It could also be expensive. Because they don't actually have to stop you. They just write the license plate number down.
Yeah.
As the parent of two first responders, you see the flashing lights. Seriously, get the hell out of the way. Don't be a jerk. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, those topics we dropped during the break.
Yes.
What did we come up with? What do we want to dive into?
Well, I mean, football things are getting ready to happen.
Right, because free agency is tomorrow.
Things can be signed.
Right. I mean, all the moves have been made.
Right.
The NFL apparently is going winky, winky, naughty, naughty with N-O-D-D. By the way, naughty, naughty, not N-A-U-G-H-T-I-E, naughty, naughty. On the whole tampering deal.
Sure.
They've just let everybody just kind of fly fast and free on this one. So, but yeah, I mean, Richard Sherman was introduced today.
Yeah.
For the San Francisco 49ers. Little revenge there, he thinks.
Sure.
Yeah, get a chance to torment his former employer for two games a year. Ground was broken today, quite literally, in Vegas for the Raiders stadium, which will be really interesting. There's not going to be a whole lot of parking around there. I know a couple of people in Vegas that are part of that. They're like, yeah, they're going to count on people using Uber and Lyft and public transportation to get to the game.
Yeah. I mean, with the heavy tourist level of Vegas, I think it makes sense, yeah. But you're also could be alienating the home fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen.
Because really, I mean, as an Uber driver, what doesn't lower your defenses and make you feel at ease besides a Raider fan in full regalia hopping into the back of your vehicle?
Yeah, do you ding them for, like, if they leave, like, body paint all over your back seats?
Or trying to get in and out, they one of those
puncture,
shoulder spikes
yeah.
hits the headliner in your car and
yeah,
rips it
open.
Yeah,
snags it. Yeah, that's awful.
Jeez.
So Dolphins added Albert Wilson.
Yeah, lovely.
That's good. Right?
They got rid of Ndamukong Suh, thank God.
They did.
And they also got rid of, well, several other key pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like the new, I'm not sure if it's GM or director of, you know, mm-hmm. of personnel or football ops there is really got a handle on actual dead money versus, you know, versus the cap and the way people are performing. So I think the moves were positive for the idea of rebuilding.
Okay.
I just don't know if that's necessarily an easy sell to a franchise that's underperformed for a few handful
of
years.
Well, you know, we've got Ryan Tannehill.
It's true. The Broncos didn't pry him away from you.
No, they didn't. We got Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Could be an interesting top three, bottom five coming up this particular football season, as we could see a perennial team that was in the top three take up residence in the bottom five.
Sure.
Happen to be to our west.
Always a possibility.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting season for the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, a lot of deals will take place officially tomorrow. Many of them have already been signed in principle. It's just a matter now of officially signing things up in the NFL because the free agent period opens tomorrow. The league year opened last week on Wednesday. And then, so 1 week from last week, you get the free agency period, which means Sammy Watkins, that deal can finally be done. He's got a $21 million signing bonus. I got a gift card.
Well, I mean, you got something.
Yeah, it was close. It was $25. It was a $25 gift card. It was shy a few zeros, but you know, it worked.
Zeros in the front, zeros in the back. What's the difference?
Well, it depends on your budgetary constraints.
That's right.
That's league year opens tomorrow. And, man, everybody is looking at not just the Chiefs for what they're doing, but the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
The Bills, A.J. McCarron, who said, and you heard it in our montage, the money doesn't matter.
It's not about the money.
Right, it's not about the money. Dude, you're in Buffalo. You're going to need all the money you can get just to get out of town.
It better be about the money.
It better be about the money there.
The Jets dropped.
The Jets?
Yeah.
Moving up in the draft and dropping a couple draft picks in the lap of the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, signing Bridgewater and then doing that.
Sam.
Go ahead.
Golden spoon in his mouth, going to the pen in his hand, actually. Bradford going to the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
For a 2-year deal for them. Guy who swears his knees are good. Right up until the second game of the season. And what'd you have?
Well, I was just going to say, do you think with all of this moving around and the fact that the top three picks look like they're going to be QBs,
mm-hmm.
do you think the Locke family has any regrets? I'm just curious. Because it got so top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not there, and you're drafted in the first round, you're probably not going to get yourself a quarterback.
Right.
Because nobody else really grades out there. And I feel like that's right where Drew would have graded out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a couple different mock drafts. Yeah. I've got Lamar Jackson dropping all the way to 28th, but that's such a weird thing with him and people, the way they're grading him and dealing with him. And then 40 is Mason Rudolph. From Oklahoma State to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if, in passing, in hindsight, if the Locke family has any regrets it's bunched up at the top.
Yeah, I don't think so, because when you look at the ones that are at the top, who are you most comfortable in drafting?
Well, none of them, really.
Right.
I mean, I guess Darnold, if you put a gun to my head, I guess Darnold.
Okay, but Sam Darnold this past season, turnover machine.
Right. I mean,
Mayfield, you're looking at the on-field success, but are you worried about the off-field headaches, the locker room nonsense?
Lamar Jackson over all three of those guys. I mean, I'm not an NFL scout, obviously, or an NFL GM.
Right, because obviously you wouldn't be sitting in that chair. I would have Dayton Moore on that side.
I don't know. Maybe this would be like my cushy alter ego side job.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Asking for a friend.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you look at the three quarterbacks that they're looking at taking right away, I don't know as if any of those are really going to be. And listen, the quarterback thing is quite literally a 50-50 proposition. And you, for every Andrew Luck that you get, or Peyton Manning that you get out of the draft, or you know, there are Ryan Leafs in that mess. Ryan Tannehill is not a good quarterback. He happens to just be being placed in good situations. And then you got somebody like Tom Brady, who is taken way deep in the draft. What, third round pick? Late third sixth, round pick. Sixth round pick, yeah. And he's going to be far and away one of the most successful quarterbacks, begrudgingly, that was ever drafted, because he cheats. And you just, as a GM or as a talent scout, you just don't know. So for Drew to sit out the year from the NBA, the NFL draft,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad deal.
I'm not saying it's bad, and I'm not planting a flag and saying this is how it's got to be.
Okay,
I'm not.
Well, we're gonna respect that flag.
I'm not doing that. I'm just curious now, with everybody trading up, with the way things worked out. There seems to be that bottom of the first round, top of the second round kind of vacuum that is opened up for Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph.
Right.
And I feel like Drew Lock would have graded in to about that spot just because. Whereas before, I think Allen and Rosen and Darnold, I think it was kind of like Darnold at one of them in the top four or five, right, and Allen maybe a little lower. And then all of a sudden that kind of pushes back Jacksons and Rudolphs and those kinds of guys. It kind of staggers everybody back a little farther.
But here's the flip side of this. We're up against it here. But here's the flip side of this, though. If you look at Lamar Jackson and Mason Rudolph down toward the bottom of the draft, the bottom of the first round, that's one thing. If you're looking at those teams at the top that are going to be drafting, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, and they grab those guys, and they're the worst of the NFL teams right now, or have moved up because they're in a position to be able to move up. If you're Drew Lock and you look at that, go, okay, those crappy teams are off the table now.
Right.
I don't have to worry about them. Next year when I come out, I might have like the New York Giants looking for quarterback. Maybe the Patriots, maybe the Chiefs, the Dolphins could be in that mix looking for a quarterback after Ryan Tannehill coming back from an ACL may not perform like they thought he was going to.
Sure.
You could have some better situations for Drew to go into than the Cleveland Browns or management issues like the Buffalo Bills.
Sure.
Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to the Closers here as we wrap things up. Thanks to Jarrett Sutton for joining us in hour number one, and also Gina Fogue here in hour number two for joining us. Really appreciate their time, and we're going to try to get that podcast up. Hopefully we've accomplished, or solved anyway, the audio issues from yesterday where everything was just a giant fuzzball. We
it's
do
my
apologize.
Fault.
Well, no, it wasn't really your fault. Oddly enough, in the radio industry, with the lack of communication. Basketball tonight, women's NCAA tournament continues along. Mississippi State and UConn picking up victories yesterday. Oregon State and number two Baylor tonight. NC State going at it. And let's see. NC State and Mississippi State, Stanford. This is the right one? Nope, that's Friday. How about we look at Tuesday? That's correct. There are new games. I didn't think there were games tonight. But Mississippi State moving on as a one seed, and South Carolina moving on as a two seed. They will get Buffalo. So that should be very, very interesting for the Lady Gamecocks. Jay Sparks, thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow. Be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.